The message you are about to hear is provided as an outreach ministry of Calvary Bible Church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
We're going to be looking in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 20 and then again at verses 26 through 38. It's on page 723 in your pew Bible. I titled the message Angelic Impact. So Gospel of Luke, first chapter, and we're beginning in verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abiah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Jump down then to verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And so, Father God, again this morning we thank you for your word, for its truth, for its power to change and transform our lives as we listen to and obey what it says. Give us for these next moments, Father, the ability to set aside the things that would distract us and that would keep us from hearing what you are saying through your word this morning and through me, your servant. And we'll praise you for it as we pray in your name. Amen. So, as I said, at the last moment I decided to change my mind and go topical this morning. I'm not sure, Christmas is fast approaching. Do you realize that Saturday night is Christmas Eve? All the kids go, yeah. And all the rest of us go, what? Already. I mean, it's right around the corner. So maybe that was part of it. Christmas is fast approaching. Maybe it was the snow. I love the snow. The beauty of it. Maybe it was the fact that in the passage I was preparing, Gabriel showed up. Maybe it was in the Advent reading that I gave to Les and Irene on Tuesday. It just seemed like the right thing to do. And so, sorry, babe, but last minute I changed and I forgot to tell you that it was a change. And I wasn't going to change the bulletin again, Paul. Some people give me grief because I tend to send out the bulletin and then sometimes, a couple days later, I send out a change. And then sometimes, a day later, another change. And yeah, so we weren't going to do that this week. Can you even imagine celebrating Christmas without angels? I kind of struggle with the fact that I don't have an angel over my manger scene in my yard. I mean, I recognize it's probably biblical that way, but to be honest with you, I'm not a stickler for biblical accuracy in my manger scene. I mean, I've got the wise men there. I only have one shepherd. So, I mean, it's not like I'm, tied to that. There's so much misinformation that goes around about angels. Maybe as much, if not more, than any other aspect of biblical information. If you want to know what angels are not like, watch TV or the movies. Some of them are cute and some of them are, touching, but that's not what really they're like. Scripture tells us what angels are really like. We don't have time today to straighten out all the misconceptions regarding angels, but I want to take a look at the impact they had on some of the people who are involved in this amazing Christmas story that we're looking at as we approach next Sunday when we celebrate that birth. We're going to be looking at four different instances where angels impacted the characters in the story. We're going to see just what kind of impact they had, and then how that relates to us. See if there's something that we can learn and apply to our own circumstances. We're going to take them in chronological order. So we begin with Gabriel and Zechariah the priest. By the way, I thought it was very interesting that the last time that it is documented in Scripture that an angel spoke to a priest, it was to the priest Zechariah about 400 years before this. I don't know if there's a significant meaning to that or not. I could probably check with Cossie later. He has a master's and he knows all this stuff. See? But I just thought it was very interesting, and so I threw it in there for free for you guys. How about that? Let's look at Zechariah's encounter. We find out as we read this section of Scripture in Luke that he was a priest, a descendant of Aaron. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. The priests were required under the law to marry a virgin. They did not have to be of the priestly line, but it was like a double blessing because she was. Both of them were upright or righteous in the sight of God. How amazing is that? They observed all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. It doesn't mean they were perfect, but boy, they held a pretty high standard, or set a pretty high standard, I guess. And yet they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren. Scripture makes a point of telling us that they were both well along in years. They were, in other words, past the natural age of childbearing. Zechariah was on duty serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot, which was how they did it. And it was his turn to go into the temple and burn incense on the altar of incense. Verse 10 says that when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assemblers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. This is, by the way, a very common reaction or an impact that angels have on mortal men. Fear. Lest we think less of Zechariah, listen to Daniel's response when this same angel Gabriel came to see him. As I said, this was the text I was going to be speaking of. It's found in Daniel chapter 8, page 632 in your pew Bible, but just verses 15 to 17 of Daniel chapter 8. While I, Daniel, was watching the vision and trying to understand it, there before me stood one who looked like a man. And I heard a man's voice from the Ulai calling, "Gabriel, tell this man the meaning of the vision." As he came near the place where I was standing, I was terrified and fell prostrate. That was a common thing that happened to men when they really saw an angel. We don't have time this morning to look up all the different texts, but Gideon, Manoah, Samson's dad, they had the same reaction, the same impact when they were visited by an angel. Here in Luke's gospel, he continues, he says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard.'" We see here what is a common response of angels to men. One of the first things they say is, "Don't be afraid. I didn't come to terrify you." They bring a message of reassurance. It's an important part of what they do. The angel knew and used his name. That's reassuring. And then he tells him that his prayer has been answered. That also was part of the reassurance. He gets specific. He says, "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to give him the name John. He'll be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now, I don't know if you remember back when we went through the book of Malachi, but this fulfills a prophecy that was given in the book of Malachi. This baby was going to be extraordinary. This is the only instance I know of in Scripture where someone is filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. From birth. That's unique and special. Zechariah would have recognized this prophecy, by the way. Zechariah asked the angel, Luke continues, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is also well along in years. Sometimes we're a bit quick to rush into judgment of old Zach. I think we should be careful. I'm thinking this prayer the angel said would be answered was one he had probably faithfully prayed for years. But maybe, now that time had taken its toll and on him and his wife, maybe he had given up on it. Maybe it had been a long time since Zachariah had asked for a son. Have you ever been there? Have you ever prayed for something intensely for an extended period of time and it just seems like God doesn't hear, or he decided to answer no? When all human hope was gone, God chose to answer it. Isn't that amazing? I think most of us would have doubted as well if we'd been in Zachariah's shoes. It makes the point that God's timing is always right. It's hardly ever ours, right? But his timing is always right. The angel answered, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you'll be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." There's a couple of quick things here. Disbelief doesn't stop God from doing what he's going to do. Isn't that amazing? And this wasn't necessarily a, maybe discipline, but it was a sign as well. If you read the story and you continue, people couldn't understand what had happened to him. He was having a hard time explaining to people what had gone on. This silence would be used by God to authenticate the birth later on. Again, we might be tempted to jump to the conclusion that the angelic impact on Zechariah was that he was struck dumb for his disbelief. And while there's truth to that, I'm sure it's a lesson he never forgot, it's only a small part of the total impact the angel's visit had. His life was radically changed by the revealed word of God. His almost forgotten and probably given up on prayer was to be answered. He was to be a father. His wife, Elizabeth, would give birth to a son. We miss the significance of that because we read this with a 21st century mindset. The text tells us that both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly, yet still they had no children. I wonder what the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel people do with a passage like that. They did everything right, and God said no. Actually, he said not yet. In the culture of their day, not having children, and especially not having a son, wasn't just a disappointment. To many people, it signified God's displeasure with you. It was a social stigma that wasn't easily overcome, probably more so because he was a priest. And now, for some unknown reason, not only had God removed the stigma, but he sent an angel to tell him about it. And what a son they were to have. "He will be a joy and delight to you." Can you imagine in their old age? "And many will rejoice because of his birth, because he'll be great in the sight of the Lord." I love the fact that he says he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah would have understood what that meant. The long-awaited Messiah was going to have a forerunner. And here it was going to be his son, John, who would go forth in the spirit and power of Elijah. He understood that. He made that connection. No wonder he had a little trouble believing him. Do you ever struggle to believe the revealed word of God? You don't have an angel speak it to you, but sometimes the truth in God's word is just hard to believe, isn't it? Well, yeah, I know it says that, but that can't mean that for me. Yes, it can. See, God's word is true. And it would be no more true if an angel came and told it to you. Let's look at the next instance of an angelic impact, down to verses 26 through 38, where again we see Gabriel dropping in unexpectedly, this time to a young girl named Mary. He says, in the sixth month, and he means of Elizabeth's pregnancy, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I think it's interesting that we don't see any indication that she was frightened by his presence. And again, Scripture doesn't tell us what Mary was doing. We know what Zechariah was doing. He was in the temple, and so an angel appears, and he's like, okay, that's not necessarily out of place in the temple. But what was Mary doing? We don't know. But Gabriel shows up, and he greets her, and she's not frightened by his appearance, but by his words she is troubled. What does this mean? Man, if his greeting troubled her, can you imagine what she was going through by the time he got done with the rest of his story? The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." There again is that reassurance, isn't it? You have found favor with God. That seems to be Gabriel's opening line, doesn't it? Don't be afraid. He then uses her name, gives her that reassurance, and then he drops the bombshell. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you're to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. I love her answer. I think it's an indication of her young. She was probably a very young girl. Her moral purity. Listen to what she says in verse 34. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I'm a virgin." Now, she was young, but she wasn't necessarily naive. She was engaged to be married. She knew where babies came from, how they came into being, and she knew that she was a virgin. She had never known a man. So what this angel's saying, there's got to be something else going on here. She wasn't doubting what he said. She was wondering how. Big difference between her and Zechariah. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Her response, again, is an answer that blows my mind. This is where I want to know how I can get some of this kind of faith. Listen, verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." Whew. Wow. Right? And then the angel left her. I've often said that Scripture doesn't tell us everything we want to know. It tells us everything we need to know. This is one of those cases. I mean, don't you want to know more about this young girl and her upbringing? I mean, where did she find the courage to accept this amazing message with such grace? Where'd she get such faith? Who was her Sunday school teacher? What curriculum did they use? We got to get some of that, right? Wow. We talk about angelic impact. If Zechariah thought his life was changed, can you imagine this young girl? And what an amazing response. It's no wonder people have tried to make more of her than they should have ever since. I pray I would respond to God's revealed will for me that well. No arguing, no questioning, no rebellion. Just a servant heart that responds in obedience and trust. There's another angelic impact we're going to look at. This time you want to flip over to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, page 681 in the Pew Bible. We're going to be looking at verses 18 to 25. Matthew writes, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Think about it. Joseph had a real predicament on his hands. The woman he was engaged to marry is pregnant, and he knows that's not his baby. Her story, much as he wants to believe it, is pretty unbelievable. His reputation is at stake. He has the right under the law to stone her to death. And there were people who would be willing to help. But that wasn't the kind of man he was. And so looking at it from a purely rational point of view, he decides that he's going to quietly divorce her so as not to bring her any more shame than necessary. He's going to take a course that will spare Mary and the baby's life. We pick it up in verse 20. But after he had considered this, arguably a commendable solution, after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. See, Joseph too had a life-changing angelic impact, didn't he? His life would forever be changed. He would be called upon to be daddy to the Son of God. How amazing is that? He too showed great faith and trust in believing and obeying the revealed word. It wasn't easy, understand, in their culture and at that time, people would have looked on them with derision. They would have talked about them behind their backs. Did you see that Mary's pregnant? Yeah, I wonder what's going on. And yet they knew. They knew. And they had a story that people don't want to believe even today. It's interesting to me how carefully Scripture makes the point that when they use the word that Mary was a virgin, they don't mean young girl. That's an argument for non-believers. They mean a woman who had never slept with a man. And Scripture is very clear and very careful to make that point several times. This was a virgin birth. This was God incarnate. This was God becoming man in embryonic form. The power of the Holy Spirit accomplished this. All according to God's plan. Joseph will experience two more angelic impacts in the very near future. His obedience not only will save the life of the boy Jesus, but also fulfills prophecy that helps authenticate Jesus being who he claimed to be. We're not going to get into him today, but if you want to later this afternoon, check out Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, and then verses 19 to 23. You'll see what I'm talking about. The last angelic impact we're going to look at today is one we touched on in our Advent reading last week, the visit to the shepherds. We sing about it. I think it was even mentioned in our Advent reading this morning. Luke chapter 2, page 725 in your pew Bible. Luke chapter 2, 8 for 220. Again, a very well-known passage of Scripture. Luke tells us there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Here again we see the common reaction, don't we? The shepherds were terrified. The angel assures and reassures, I should say, them. He continues, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." What a powerful statement that is. "This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Here we see the effect of the angelic impact on the shepherds. They believed the word of God and they acted on it. They put their belief into action. We can learn from their example, can't we? Verse 16, "They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger." Don't you love that? They didn't wait around. They didn't call a meeting and say, "Okay, let's talk about this. What do you think we ought to do? Do you think that was real? Was that just the chili? You know, what?" No, they understood. They saw the angel. They listened to what he said, and then they did what he told them to. They hurried off. And they found him. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen, heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Imagine that. First documented praise and worship service in the New Testament. Shepherds out in the field. we too should offer praise and worship for the things we hear and see in God's revealed word to us. We should spread the news of all that we have seen and heard, which have been just as he said, that salvation comes by grace through faith to all who believe. What an amazing message to tell and to share with people. Scripture is actually true, that what it says is true. And it's true in my life and can be true in your life. We've got a great message to share. The second advent is going to be announced by an angel too, you know. Not just to a few shepherds on a quiet hillside some dark night. Paul tells us about this first stage of the event. The second coming is going to happen in stages, I believe, from what Scripture tells us. And the first thing is what Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, page 837 in your pew Bible. It's just one verse. Paul writes, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." That signals the rapture, as you all know. That's the initial stage. It sets the stage for the second coming, which is going to happen about 7 years later. Mark chapter 13, just verse 26, Jesus says, "At that time men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory." We understand that to mean with the heavenly angels. Matthew 25:31, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He'll sit on His throne in heavenly glory." The Apostle John tells us in Revelation 1:7, "Look, He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be." Amen. The next angelic impact will be very different from those that came before it. Men will be terrified of that, I'm quite sure. With good reason, because this time I don't think the angels are going to bring a message of reassurance, but of judgment. We need to learn from those we looked at today to believe and obey the revealed Word of God. We don't need an angel. We have the book. Let it get your attention. Scare you if necessary. And then discover the reassurance that's there for those who believe and obey. And then, like those shepherds, go tell others about it. Father God, again, we thank You for Your Word, for its power to change us as we listen and obey. We'll praise You, Father, as we pray in Your name.
The message you have just heard was provided as an outreach ministry of Calvary Bible Church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. For more information, please visit our website at calvarybiblefdl.org or call at 920-921-0530. Thanks for listening, and may you grow in grace through faith in Jesus.